Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will use this city as a tool of witness in the lives of those who are struggling to live godly for you. I pray that it will bring deliverance and set the captive free. Lord, as it goes beyond the prison walls, the highway and byways, that it will compel those to come unto you. Lord, those that are struggling, that they'll begin to live victoriously. And Lord, when that race is over and it is all finished, Lord, they can come unto you and you will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name.
Can I get me one or two, maybe three or four people that really believe that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're going through, no matter how long you've been going through it, God is able to deliver you. God is able to bring you on the other side. God is able to lift you up. Can I get me one person, two people, three or four that will say, God, you're able. Hallelujah. Woo. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for being able today. Yeah. I believe I got me somebody that's got that in their spirit. You've been through something, and you on the other side. And you're saying, God, had it not been for you on my side, I couldn't have done it. God is able to do just what he said he would do. We thank you, Lord. We bless you today. If you have your Bibles, if you would, look at the book of Numbers, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 8, and also 19 through 20. And if you don't have your Bible, you don't have a tablet or phone, if you look up on the screen, those scriptures will be there. So if you would just allow me to read Numbers 23, verses 1 through 8, and also 19 through 20, aloud in your hearing as you read it silently. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars. Prepare me 7 altars with oxen and rams, 7 on each of them. And Balaam did as Balak had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. Verse 3, and Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go, and preadventure the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. Verse 4, and God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Somebody say, God put it in his mouth. And he said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. Verse 7, and he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come defy Israel. Verse number 8 is quite interesting because he says this in a form of a question. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or should I defy whom the Lord have not defiled? And if you would drop down to verses 19 and 20. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Verse 20, behold, I receive commandment to bless and have blessed, and I cannot reverse it. Eternal God, we are grateful and thankful unto you, for you are great, Lord, in this day, as in always. You're greatly to be praised. From the city of our God to the mountain of your holiness, you're beautiful, Lord, for every situation that was brought into this sanctuary today. Now, Lord, help us, Lord, to be receptive to what the Spirit of God has to say to us this morning. Let us not just be a hearer, but let us be a doer of your word. And Lord, yes, your servant definitely needs, Lord, your anointing. For without your anointing, Lord, I can do nothing. It's through your anointing that yokes will be broken, chains and fetters, and hearts lifted up. When everything is said and done, Lord, if there's anybody here in person or in our streaming audience that has never repented of their sins nor been baptized in Jesus' name, Lord, today is a great day that they can receive, Lord, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when all these things are said and done, we'll remember to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let everybody say, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'd like to just turn your attention back to the 19th verse, and there's a specific part of that, but let me just read it. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. This is the part I want you to listen to. Hath he said, meaning God, hath he said, and shall he not do it? Somebody said, that's a question. Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? In the remaining time that I have with you, I'd like to leave this thought with you. God will do what he said. Somebody shout, he's able. God bless you. You may be seated. God will do what he said, because he said it. And how many of you know that God is a promise keeper? Brothers and sisters, guests and or visitors, there are numerous accounts in the entire Bible where God said something and then he turns around and performs just what he said he would do. See, God is not a man that he should lie. No, bruh, no, sis. If God said it, that's a wrap. If he said it, it's a done deal. If he said it, you can take it to the bank. You better believe it's already settled in heaven. How many of you remember when God told Noah it was going to rain? Question on the floor is, what happened?
Rain.
Talk back to me. It rained. And although it had never rained on the earth before, because how it used to be then, the plant life was watered from underneath the ground. There was never a day where water came down from heaven to water the earth. But God told Noah, it's going to rain. Noah moved with the quickness, even though he'd never seen rain before. He responded to what God said. You see, every word of God is true. Every word. So Noah moves with the quickness because God said, it's going to rain. And again, he never saw rain, didn't know what it looked like. All he knows, God said, it's going to rain. So know what Noah did? He went and he built an ark. He believed God's word. Do I have any believers of the word of God today? Mm-hmm. Again, the word of God. Every word of God is true. He's a shield unto them that put their trust and faith in him. Now, let's look back at another person's life to support what we're talking about. What God will do when you obey his word. Let's look back over the life of a man by the name of Abram before his name was changed to Abraham. And we find that in Genesis, the 12th chapter, that the Lord had given Abram some detailed instructions. God had told Abraham this: if you do this, And in return, I will do what I promised. What was the promise? Well, you know the account. He and his father, they were people that were idolater worshipers. They worshipped images. But now it's time for them to leave that place. And God has told him to go forward. Well, the father, he dies in the interim, so he never makes the journey. But in that first verse there in Genesis, the 12th chapter, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Please, sir, ma'am, get this in your spirit. God had not shown him yet, but he was moving with the quickness in a place he didn't know. Now, how many of y'all ever been in a situation you're riding with somebody and you ask them the question, hey, where are we going at? And he said, I don't know. After a while, you know, you're still riding down the road because you know you're riding with him. That's the man. And he said, hey, man, but where are we going? I don't know. Now, exactly. After a while, you might say, hey, let me run into that quick shot real quick and get something. You run into the quick shot, they never come back out. They while they're in there, they're calling an Uber. Come get me. Because this fella don't know where he's going. But that's what Abraham had to do. He had to follow God even when he didn't know where he was going. You've got to trust God even when you can't trace him. So he tells him to get up out of a country that you know of. How many of you know that we get comfortable in certain settings and we'll never leave because we're comfortable? But there are times that God wants you to move up from where you're at to go where he wants to take you. Another country. He wants him to get away from his people. Somebody say, sometimes. My peeps don't have my best interest. Now just sit in and let that marinate for a minute. And to thine own self be true. You know, sometimes our own family members don't want what's best for us. They want what's best for them and what they can get out of the deal. So he said, leave them. Then I want you to go to a place that I will show you. You have to take it by faith. Somebody say faith. Faith. Faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. You don't need a whole lot, but you got to use what you. So we find Abraham doing that. He said, I will make you a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Please, somebody raise both your hands if you want to be a blessing to people. Come on now. It's time for us not to just have this mentality, but to have this mentality. I'm going to bless you. Do you know how good it feels to bless people that can't pay you back? Mm-hmm. Don't look back. Hey, you remember when I gave you this? No, you were being a blessing. He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. Oh, I don't know if y'all getting this in your spirit. But to be a blessing to people, to have people say, you know what? You bless me. That bless me. I'm going to make you a blessing. And then he said, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. How many fathers we got in the house? Raise your hand. Put your hand down. You know what it takes to be a father? You at least have to have one child. At least one. Here he said, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and he ain't got the first child. And what he did after this, don't forget what I'm talking about. God will do what he said. He said, I'm going to make you a blessing. He said, I'm going to multiply your seed. It'll be as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, innumerable. If you can number that, then you got it. And this is what he said. And so shall all the families of the earth be blessed because of one man's walk of faith. Verse 4 says, and Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. Did you catch that? How many times have the Lord had to tell you 2 and 3, 4 times to do something? Our head is like this. But the Bible said, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And then it said, and Lot went with him. How many of you know there's sometimes this uninvited guest, there's uninvited people on your blessing train. They just jump on because you are going to be blessed. And guess what? As a residual, they're going to be blessed. And this is the last part I want to get out of this. And he was 75 years old. Now, I know I got me some people back there saying, Pastor, don't be calling my age. The part I want you to get is that it doesn't matter how old you are. He's starting now his walk with God at 75 years old. Here's a man that never heard God's voice a day in his life, but now God is speaking to him. Get thee out of thy country. Get away from thy people. And then watch what I do for you. And you know the account, and I'm just going to rush right through it. He promises Abraham a child. Him and his wife are well up in age. Abraham's about 100. Sarah's about 90. And they didn't have none of that Viagra stuff back there. It was literally God. No medicine could take credit for this. But guess what? They were getting older. And after a while, maybe Sarah got a little bit weary and she said, well, I got a handmaid, Hagar. Go into her and through her, we could have a child. And they did. But somebody say that wasn't God's plan. See, a lot of times we mess up. God's got something specific for us. And so they have a child by the name of Ishmael. Oops, there he is. And when he came out, all of the stuff you see now in the Middle East is a result of it. Because Ishmael's people are saying, my father is Abraham. The Jew says, my father is Abraham. It's territorial. It's about real estate. But it all happened because they got out of the will of God. But don't forget now, there's a promise. And don't, God will do what he said he will do. So now it gets to the place now, Sarah is up in age. They made that mistake. But now God visits them again. And while God is visiting him, he's reiterating to Abraham, remember what I told you, that your wife is going to have a child. Sarah's in the back, probably cooking up something for the visitors. And she hears the conversation. And the Bible says she laughed when God said that she was going to have a child. Yes, believe it or not, sometimes we laugh at God's plans. We think that's so funny. We think like, man, how you go? I don't have a dime. How am I going to get that house? Listen, I'm telling you, we serve a God of the miraculous. We serve a God. My Lord, help us. We ought to start speaking some things as though they already were.
That's right.
So we get it. She laughs. And then God asked her, told Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? That means God is paying attention to us. He hears our conversations. Oh, I know you say, ain't nobody. I'm shutting the door. I'm cutting the light out. Darkness is light to him. And a shut door don't mean nothing because he walked through. Why did Sarah laugh? Sarah, why'd you laugh? She said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. Oh, yeah, you did. And isn't it something? The Bible never once said that it was an external laugh. That means an outward laugh. You know, like you cry. Oh, no, what? No, it wasn't that. It was inside. He heard her laughter. You see, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Some stuff be going on inside of us that we don't think that God is paying attention to, but he is. So let me just move fast forward. Now, finally, the day comes. They have a child, Isaac. And guess what happens? The Lord said, I want you to take and I want you to sacrifice him. The one child, the one that you said that I was going to have, you gave him to me, but now you're taking him from me. Somebody say it was only a test. He wanted to see what he was going to do. Well, the Bible said when God told him, he early that morning took his son and prepared to do just what he told him to do. They're walking, beautiful day outside, and he sees the mountain. It's afar off, a good ways off. How many of you know when you have time to think, your mind can develop a lot of thoughts? Maybe he was walking with his only son saying, man, this is it. Son don't know any better. But then I think he got a clue. He said, Father, what are we going to do? We want to sacrifice. He said, okay, well, where's the wood? Here's the wood, son. He said, what about the fire? Oh, yeah, here's the fire. He said, but Daddy, we're missing the main ingredient. Where's the sacrifice? Let me ask you the question. Where's the sacrifice in your life that God's requiring you to do, but you're not willing to give it up? You're not willing to let it go. He said, Daddy, we got everything. But where's the sacrifice? He said, son, the Lord himself will provide a sacrifice. And you know the account. There's a ram that's caught in the thickets of the bush. And he said, take that. That's the sacrifice. God will do what he said. Let's go back to our text, and I'm almost done. We went to Numbers 23, 1 through 8 and 19 through 20. It would probably best serve to go to chapter 22 and find out how this alliance came about. Well, Balak is king of Moab, and Moab was really getting defeated a lot by the Israelites. And so he wanted the prophet to come and prophesy against them. And I love what it said, because the king, he says, wait a minute. Now, I sent for you a while back and you didn't get in a hurry to come. He said, don't you know I have the power to promote you, to elevate you in the kingdom? And I've got to tell you what he said from the Bible, because a lot of times we are intimidated when people that are just people like us say things and we aren't really standing on our grounds. This is what he said. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. I have now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. In other words, you can send for me, but you better believe whatever the Lord told me, that's what I'm going to tell you. And so that's where we pick back up. Now we're in the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 8. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balaam did as Balak had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. In other words, it was going to be simultaneously done that this was going to take place. If you just had one altar, it would be all day long. So he had them build 7 altars. We know 7 is the number of perfection. So they're building these altars. Now they're sacrificing. Verse 3 says, and Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the altar, that burnt offering, excuse me, and I will go preadventure. The Lord will come to meet me. You got to believe that God has a man or woman of God and he has a relationship with them and he's going to speak to them a lot of times in regards to your situation. But you've got to be willing to let him go or let them go or let her go and hear what the Spirit of God has to say. So now Balaam said unto him, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Preadventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. How many of you know there's some people rather believe a lie than the truth? You tell them the truth. This is what the Bible said. And they don't want that. They want you to put sugar on their dirt and make them feel good with all warm and fuzzy stuff. But that's not me, y'all. That's not my MO. He said, and he went to a high place. Sometimes we have to get away from here and get to where God would want us to be so we can hear what the Spirit of God has to say. And verse 4 says, and God met Balaam. See, God will meet you if you take time out to meet him. It is a shame we are so busy today, we don't have time to talk to God. We don't have time for God to speak to us. Bruh, sis, you are too busy if you don't have time to pray. We used to sing the song, just a little more time to pray. So he's down at this high place. He's listening to the voice of God. The altars have the bullocks and the rams on them. Verse 5 says, and the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Whose mouth did he put it in? Not Balak, but Balaam. He will put the word in that servant's mouth to speak to you at that appointed time. There is a right now word that you need to receive, but you got to hear what the Spirit of God has to say and stop letting the chatter of the world distract you. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by the burnt sacrifices, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and he said, now listen to what it said. Balak, the king of Moab, have brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. See, that was the assignment of Balaam. And Balak really thought that he was going to come and fulfill that assignment, but he never once said he would do that. And this is what he said. This is Balaam speaking. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? I'm telling you right now, what God has for you, it is for you. You got to stop letting people tell you, you ain't going to get, you'll never have. He said, how shall I curse whom God have not cursed? And then he says, how shall I defy whom the Lord have not defiled? Verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie. I'm telling you, some of us, we better stop telling lies on God. Stop telling people the Lord told me. Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, if anybody in this ministry know me, you start talking like that, I'm going to zip up my lips and I'm going to listen. Because I know one thing, that conversation between you and God, and you better believe for every idle word, according to the word, you have to give an account. So if you say God told you, I'm backing up. This is what he said. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. God is not going to repent to you or to me. He is God and God alone. He's sovereign in his dealings with man, meaning he does what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. He doesn't have to answer to you. I know there's somebody saying, well, Lord, why I got to go through this? Lord, why? Can I just ask you a question? Why not you? Why? What makes you so special that you don't have to go through nothing? What makes you so special that you don't have to deal with adversity? Don't you know it's adversity that makes us who we are? It is adversity that makes a pearl beautiful. If there's no adversity, how can you say that you've been through anything? The songwriter said, through it all, through it all. I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God through it all. Through what? Through my trials, through my tribulations. That's how I learned. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Have he said? Somebody say, he said it. If God said it, whether you believe it or not, that settles it. If God said, a mosquito could hook up to a freight train and pull it. Now, if God said it, you better believe it's going to happen. Why? Because God said it. And what God said it, he can perform it. Have he said? And then shall he not do it? God is able to do anything but fail. That's the only thing God cannot do. Things that are impossible with man are possible with God. You got to trust that if he said it, he can do it. Or have he spoken and shall he not make it good? Let me tell you this, and I'm closing. In 2024, God has prepared a door for you. Yes. I'm trying to look everybody in the face. In 2004, God has prepared a door for you. There's a door for you to walk through in 2024. But the question is, are you willing to go beyond the door? If it's closed, that's enough deterrent for some of y'all to say, oh man, he said he was open door, but it's closed. He said, knock, and the door shall be open. Seek, and ye shall find. You got to get to the place where you understand just because a door is closed doesn't mean that you still walk through it. Now, yes, the scripture does say this. What God closes, no man can open. But sometimes that door is not closed by God. It's just adversity. It's an opportunity for you to be challenged and say, you know what? I'm going to continue to press my way till I get on the other side of the door. And trust me, if it's a door and it's not meant for you to walk through, you're not going to walk through it. There's an open door in 2004. But the question on the floor is, do you believe this? God will do what he said. Do you believe that God will do what he said? If he told you, I have a door, an opportunity, an advancement, a new place for you, all you have to do is walk through that door. Do I have any walkers right now? I want you to stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I hope and pray that there is a word of encouragement that you walk away with today, knowing that God will do what he said. He's able to do above exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power, watch this now, that worketh in us. It's in you. You have to be the one to develop it. You have to be the one. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, and even those that are on Facebook and YouTube, I invite you to make where you're at right now your altar. And I want you to begin to open up your mouth and begin to cry out to God. Lord, there is an open door in 2024. Give me the strength. Give me the boldness. Give me the mindset to walk through it. With everyone that's here that desires to come up to the altar, there's a place for you at the altar. There's an opportunity for you right now to come and draw nigh to him while the blood is running warmly in your veins, while you still have a sound mind to make a conscious decision. Are you here today? Maybe those that are, again, live streaming, one of the things that you don't have to concern yourself with is being inhibited by what somebody going to think or say if they see me coming down the aisle. I'm going to be truthful. That mindset needs to be done away with, because you're not coming for anybody else but you. You know what you need. You know where you are right now. You know if the Lord should come back right now, where would you be? Well, I'm asking you right now, please, sir, ma'am, if the Lord is impressed upon you to come, come. You see them anointing them with oil. That's according to the scriptures in James, the 5th chapter. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We're doing it according to the word of God. If you're here today, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. We can't pray for you, because, sir, ma'am, you've got to articulate with your own mouth. You've got to open up your own mouth and talk to God. But we're here and we're praying with you. Will there be another? Amen. Again, I want the viewing audience, those that are live streaming, please take an opportunity. Don't let it go. Don't let it be said too late. Come on, come on, where you are right now.
If you're speaking. Thank you, Father. I gotta give you thanks. Because, Lord, everything that you have done, I didn't look at it now. I thank you, Lord, for the release of every chain. Everywhere I go, God, I gotta give you praise. Because you have heard my cry. We have been smothered by the grace of God, and it has brought us joy. Therefore, Lord, we was able to make a joyful noise in this city. We have learned to forgive, and with that in mind, God, I just can't stop praising you. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen.